Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I'm Don Daler, and this is 2020 in Touch. Although it's not talked about openly today, exorcism is practiced by the Catholic Church almost daily somewhere in the world. Elizabeth Vargas travels to Rome, where there is a growing demand for the ritual of exorcism.
Hold it, hold it.
Leave.
No!
No!
Leave.
It is something this Los Angeles woman, seen in the documentary Satan Unmasked, says brought her peace.
And welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio. My name is Brother Emmett Overton. I want to thank everybody for listening. I'm a demonologist and a curseologist. I was trained by the Lord Jesus of Nazareth himself, and I've been a curseologist for 14 years and a demonologist for 14 years. I've studied under Derek Prince, John Eckhart, Win Worley, and Frank Hammond. My assistant's name is Apostle Candace Durden. She's been a demonologist for 14 years with me. We grew up together in the Lord, and this has happened to be her father, who also ordained me in the ministry of chaplaincy, and I began my studies there, understanding demonology at the hospital. Without further ado, there will be no questions and answers. Chaplain John Durden will be bringing two subjects, the Holy Spirit and teaching the basics of deliverance. There will be no questions and answers. He have 1 hour and 58 minutes to bring the Word of God. Without further ado, Chaplain John Durden.
Good evening, everybody. Again, this is Chaplain John Durden. Hope all is well and you had a good day today, especially those who have, of you who are fathers. God bless you. And tonight I was asked to teach on a few subjects, or to share, not to teach, but to share. And I'm going to share about the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to talk about spiritual warfare, the different types of demons, how they act, what they try to get us to do, and these kinds of things. But before I do, I would like for us to go in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray that you would anoint me with revelation knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And also I pray that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, empowers me to teach your word, Father, with clarity, simplicity, and boldness. And also, Lord, may our minds be alert and clear, and our hearts be receptive. And I pray that the Spirit of Truth will move in such power that every stronghold of unbelief and discord and vain thought be pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your Son, the Lord Jesus, the world's Redeemer. And I pray that your words bring salvation to those who need it, healing for those who are downtrodden and unable to do certain things because of the physical situation, and deliverance, those who may have demonic spirits without aware. And I ask that you also touch everybody in your presence this evening, Father. And in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray, amen and amen. some of you don't know me personally, and some of you never heard of me, some did. Well, I'll just give you a little quick overview of my background. First of all, yours truly just turned 80. I'm an 80-year-old man. I can't believe the time going by so fast. I couldn't help but remember when I turned 60, it's hot diggity dog. I'm a teenager, a teenager. And now I'm an old fogey now, 80 years old. Well, praise the Lord. And thank God I never experienced a day of sickness in all the 80 years. In the 80 years I was taking physical examination, they never could find anything wrong with me. I don't have no sickness, never been in the hospital, never had to take any medication. And sometime when I go take an exam, the doctors or the nurse try to trick me and say, well, Mr. John, what kind of medication are you allergic to? Because you got to put it into your record. I go, I don't know. They said, what you mean you don't know? You stupid or what? You don't know what medication you're allergic to? I said, I never had any. And that is the truth, folks. I never had any medication a day in my life. So God was sustaining me, I guess, because he was saving me for this period. I never thought at the age of 80 I started talking about especially demonology, deliverance ministry, and how to deal with spiritual beings. But that's what I'm doing, too. And he got me teaching now, you know, different things. I thought I'd be in Florida just chilling and taking my time. But here I am. Here I am. I want to share a few scriptures with you. The first session I'm going to talk about is the Holy Spirit. So I'll give you a few scriptures on from John. John, the 15th chapter, verses 26 and 27. Because we're talking, since my session, the first part is going to be on the Holy Spirit. Then my first session going to deal with that, the Holy Spirit. Chapter 15 in John, the subtopic is called The Promise of the Spirit. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then he get into it. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, talking about the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. And even the Spirit of truth. Now, he just got through calling this the Holy Spirit, the comforter. Now he's referring to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not and neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. That's the scripture that testifies about the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to John, the 16th chapter, verses 7 and 8, and that talks about how the Holy Spirit enlightens us, bring us to awareness of what's going on around us and what we need to know about the Word of God. So John, chapter 16, verses 7 and 8, says this. This is Jesus talking. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, that the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And verse 8 says this. And when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And how he going to do that? Says of sin, because they believe not on me. He's going to reprove them about their righteousness, what it is, because I go to the Father. And I'm going to let them know that all going to be judged because of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So we're going to be corrected. We're going to be judged and everything else. We're going to be enlightened. And then I read verse 7 and 8. And then the Lord says, skip down to verse 13. And verse 13 says this. How be it? When he, the Holy Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You know, that scripture really jumped out at me because all these years, when I was a deacon, when I was in my 20s and 30s and assistant minister in my 40s, you know, and then a chaplain in my 50s and 60s. I thought that Jesus, because he was the Son of God, everything, when I read the New Testament and everything is in red, I thought Jesus was just profoundly just speaking, would come out his godly self, his godly spirit, his godly mind, and stuff like that. But you know what? There are several scriptures in the Bible. He says, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do. I said, what? And then the Holy Spirit had to bring back and say, look at it again, John. Because I thought all them scriptures that Jesus was saying, teaching them about the Ten Commandments and everything else, talking to his apostles, he was telling them what the Lord was telling him to say. I thought everything I read and read, that was him speaking. Yeah, it was him speaking, but he was repeating what his Father was saying. He said, I only do what I see my Father do, and I only say what I hear my Father say. I said, go, Jesus, with your bad self. And here's chapter 16, verse 13. Listen, I said, even the Holy Spirit is doing it. Now, that's an enlightenment to me. I forgot about that. It says, howbeit, when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And listen at this. For he shall not speak of himself. In other words, he's not speaking from his mind or from his head of tech because he's God, you know. Say, I'm God. And so let me just go ahead and say what I got to say is God. But listen to what it says. Verse 13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And that's something. And then Jesus says in verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. In other words, he shall glorify me and he shall receive of mine. Whatever I've revealed to him, with respect to ministering, he will share with you. And there's something, when Jesus was down here, he was doing what God said. Now, Jesus back up in heaven, the Holy Spirit, now the Holy Spirit is relating to Jesus, and Jesus relating things what he should do. That's amazing how they work in sync like that. And then the Lord gave me another one, Acts chapter 13. And chapter 13 says, verses 2 and 4, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, listen at this, the Holy Ghost, now this is talking about the Holy Ghost, giving some direction. As they ministered to the Lord, and I'm talking about giving direction to Paul and Barnabas to go to Cyprus. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Isn't that amazing? And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by who? The Holy Ghost. They parted from Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. How about that? And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, I'm talking about the apostles, disciples, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia. The Holy Ghost gave them some instructions. And then if you look at 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, which is still active, a lot of people talk about, that doesn't exist for us today. That's not for us today. We have this written word. We have this written word. Yeah. Let me see. I want to go to Acts 13. Acts chapter 13. No, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. 1 Corinthians verse 12 says this. Now, the Holy Spirit is one that assigns gifts. You know, some people have the gift of wisdom, some the gift of knowledge, some the gift of speech, some the gift of preaching, some different gift of singing, some gift of communication, all kinds of gifts. You see all kinds of Christians out there, deacons and chaplains, they're all and singers and choir directors. And I mean, the whole nine yards. God gave those people the gift because we all have a certain and a special calling on our lives. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, says, don't you know that I have a plan for your life? A plan, not of calamity or problems, but a plan to give you a future and a hope. He has that plan. He has a specific purpose for each one of us, folks. And so if you look at verse 12, a lot of people go, we don't have these today. We have a written word. Written words say, do not forbid speaking in tongues. And a lot of other things the Lord says, because he can read down into future generations. And he knows there's a lot of people that are, tongue has ceased and this has ceased and you don't do this anymore. And he put a script in there and say, tongue, do not forbid speaking in tongues. Diversity of gifts. Now listen at this. The Holy Spirit we're talking about right now, he comes down here and he gives every human being a special gift, a talent to serve the Lord. Listen to what he says. He says, now, concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. I don't want you to be ignorant. I'm going to give you all different gifts. Some going to have, some will have the gift of knowledge, some the gift of wisdom, the gifts of healing. Some will have the gift of working miracles. Some will have the gift of prophecy. And some will have the gift of discerning of spirits and so forth. You know? I said, wow. And when I come to that word, the gift of prophecy, that kind of brings back an old memory. I know some people say, well, don't you know tongue has ceased? I don't mean to speak about tongues right now. That's supposed to be the ending. But I just want to jump in right here just for a second. There were three things God says will cease. That was prophecy and tongues and what was that other one? 1 Corinthians 13, chapter. Here it is. Okay. Yeah. It says, charity never fails, but whatever there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall, didn't say has, shall, and the Holy Spirit had to correct me on that because I was going around after teaching tongues has ceased for 27 years, I finally got convicted by the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus, and they corrected me. They said, no, son, the Bible didn't say it has. It said, they shall fail, prophecy. And guess what prophecy is? You know, the devil is slick. He didn't say, hey, didn't you know prophecy has ceased? But guess what? See, the devil just bypassed that. But you know, prophecy, that's the first thing. You know what prophecy, when God gave you the gift of prophecy, you know what that do? That's when God had come on you with by the Holy Spirit and say, and that is edification of the body of Christ by building them, building up their faith. So prophecy is the building, of their faith. The minister might be preaching and teaching, and then the Holy Spirit come upon him, and he say, folks, this is not me, this is the Lord. And the Lord said, the guy has come out with profound teaching and everything else, and he said, my God, that wasn't even my sermon. You know, I've been practicing and reading my sermon over and over for a whole week, preparing for Sunday, and here I am talking about everything that I have prepared for. That's because the Holy Spirit took over. That's prophecy, because when the person was, you say, Pastor, I don't know how to tell you this, but I really enjoy that service tonight. I mean, yeah, today or whatever time it is. I mean, it sounded like you were speaking to me. And that's because the pastor let the Holy Spirit just lead him what he wanted to say. He said, Lord, I'm going to say what I think. And he just started speaking profoundly and everything else. And the people getting blessed by it and crying. And when the service is over, they run to the pastor, hug, and say, you really, I don't know how you know my problem, but I felt you were speaking directly to me, Pastor. You said, praise the Lord, sister, praise the Lord, brother, you know, kind of thing. And that's what you call the gift of prophecy. God know what the people want to hear. He know what they need to hear and what can lift them up and exalt them as well. Okay? So that's what prophecy is. So when you look at 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, it says, but when there be prophecy, they shall fail. Well, they didn't say has. Prophecy is God encouraging. You know what else a prophecy does? A lot of people overlook it. Listen at this. When a person says, prophecy, they shall fail. They shall. This it has. Prophecy is the edification of the body of Christ by building them up in faith. Guess what else prophecy does? Exhortation of the body of Christ by calling people nearer to God. Exhortation, the pastor or whoever's teaching, can give the people encouragement, exhortment through his sermon or through his teaching that particular night. You know what else prophecy does? It serves for the purpose of comforting the body of Christ, to set at ease and to encourage. In other words, Pastor, you know, there's someone out there who has this problem. They had their physical, and the doctor said this and that and that. Well, let me tell you, honey, the Lord said, you will be healed. You have nothing to fear or to worry about. Sweetheart, the Lord is talking to somebody in this church. You know what? I know you never shared that with the congregation because you felt embarrassed and shame. Your daughter or your son ran away from home when they were like 14, 15, 16. You haven't seen them in 2 or 3 years. Well, guess what? The Lord tell me to tell you that your daughter will call you tonight at 12 midnight and say she want to come home. Did you hear what I say? Listen, I'm not just lying. I don't lie. And here it is. God is speaking to somebody and saying that your daughter been gone since for 2 years now, and she's going to come home to you, mama. And the woman started screaming, that's me. She couldn't believe it. Ran up and down, hugged the pastor and everything, and the church got up and applauded. Also, what prophecy do? It comforts the body of Christ to set at ease and to encourage. In other words, the pastor may have something on plan on the sermon. When he get up in the pulpit, God changed the whole thing. he says, well, I'm not going to read my notes, y'all. That's the Lord. He just started going to town. And people now out there crying and screaming and hugging the pastor and everything else. I mean, I've really been blessed this cause. Guess what? The pastor didn't use his own plan sermon that he prepared for the whole week. His Holy Spirit took over, because at that particular time, he had some people there who really need to hear what the Holy Spirit had to say, because the Holy Spirit knows what our problems are. And when it says, prophecy, and see, will there be a prophecy, they shall fail. Your prophecy haven't failed yet. Listen to this. You know another purpose of prophecy? That prophecy convicts and convince people of sin, leading them to repentance and reconciliation. The Holy Spirit had the pastor or the teacher to say something to that person, or maybe have a fellow brother in the Lord. Say, I know you, I'm not a preacher anything that brother so-and-so, but you know what? I see the Lord tell me to tell you so-and-so, and it would curse that person's pants off. And that's how it works. So prophecy having seeds, because y'all are doing it right now. Y'all got sick members, family members, friends and all, and that you encourage. That's what prophecy is, encouraging somebody by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then the next one, they shall see. And the Lord says, John, you've been taught all these years, tongue has seeds. What is has? Is it past tense or future tense, my son? And I say, oh, Lord, I'm not this perfect man in English, but common sense tell me, will it's present tense? Which is present tense it is. I didn't say has. I say it will, which means future tense. And if you look at the next verse and say, that which is perfect, that's me. when that rich and perfect comes, then you won't need to speak in tongues no more, because I'll be there to preach and to teach and everything else. When a person speaks in tongues, he's speaking by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because God may have some, the pastor might get ready to say the benediction, and the Holy Spirit says, there's something I want to say to the congregation. And then the pastor says, go, Lord. You the boss. And then the pastor says, Eche keria ne kata para sola. Kehe na kehe chiki na kala para soko. Ta para kine. Eche keria ne kata para soko. Ya ne kata para yama. Karine ke esa koti. Nahaya. Tehele. No. Kati he chiki ya na para soko ya ne. And then guess what? When he gets through, he says, everybody says, what did you just say, Pastor? Pastor says, I don't know. The Lord didn't give me the interpretation. And then one of the singers in the choir, or one of the sisters in the Lord, might get up and say, Pastor, the Lord told me what you just said. It's how you know. He given me the gift of it, and I thought a moment, the gift of interpretation. I said, yep, I know what that is. That's in different tongues, the gift of interpretation. But what did the Lord say? The Lord said, and then when even that person get through talking, encourage the whole audience, because that's the Holy Spirit encouraging everybody in that church that particular Sunday. That's what it's for. Tongues. It says tongues will. That's present tense. And God said, now you quit telling that error. That's not true. Don't lie on me. Don't lie on my word. And I say, well, you never hear about some people. If you don't speak in tongues, you're going to hell. No, that's a lie too. You get it if you want it. But if you're a righteous person, you love me with all your heart, soul, and mind, you still go. You'll be with me when you pass from this earth. Tongues is not an avenue to heaven. Tongue is just allowing the Lord to use you to encourage somebody. You may be like me. I'd be in the cab, and I'm going to Puerto Rico on a business trip, and all of a sudden, I feel like praying, and I'm in the back seat, and the cab driver is Spanish, taking me to Puerto Rico, and I'm going, Eshikiria nikata para so, kalabaria nikata boro shokoriana, katina hekito marasi. And the driver started crying, and I go, what's wrong with him? And I go, Eshikiria nikata boro shokori. And he pulled over and said, sir. I said, yes, I sir. He says, are you Spanish? Because you look African-American to me. I said, no. I'm not Spanish. He said, speaking fluent Spanish. I said, where was Isaiah? Yeah. He said, and you say, thank you, Jesus, for seeing me safely here to Puerto Rico that the plane didn't crash. I love you, Lord, and I thank you for watching over my children and my absent, my wife, and so on. And I just thank you, and I praise you. I'm Isaiah and all that. He said, yep. He said, you were speaking in Spanish. I said, well, I'm a dog. You know? And sometimes when I'm at a church that's full gospel, I might be praying in tongues, and I might be sitting next to a person, a white person who's an Italian. Some other, and I just see like praying in real low. I go, Shikiria nekuta parasima, Kelia nakaporo sokoria. And the lady on the mantle around says, sir, what's your nationality? I almost say, what business is of yours? I said, I'm African American. He said, well, you speak in fluent Italian. I said, what? He said, yes, sir. I mean, she said, yes, sir. She said, I'm from Italy, and I moved here, you know, a couple of years ago, and this is my church. She said, you just praise the Lord. You say, thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Thank you. I said, I said all that. She said, yes, you did. I said, well, praise the Lord, you know, kind of a thing. So it's really real. But like I said, don't go down calling this Holy Ghost a liar. The Holy Ghost says still relevant to us today. And so when you and Jesus said, go and teach my word, heal the sick, lay hands on the sick and let me heal, and speak in tongues and all these other kind of things. You walk right on, that half ceased. And then you rebuking God's word. God said, go. It says, if you really look at it, it says, God says in the Bible, it says, they shall feel prophecy. And that's a prophecy, not but encouraging people. Sometimes you don't know what to say. You might not know a person having problems with their wife, their children, whatever. And the pastor kept there and said, you know, I just feel glad to say, you know, some of you out there really got a problem with your children, because he don't want to single you out because he want to embarrass you. He said, the Lord says, you know, he's going to answer your prayer. You have a rebellious child. You got a cheating husband. God's going to deal with that husband of yours. You know, whatever, cheating wife, whatever. You know, you got a weakness for smoking cigarettes. I would deliver you if you're sincere about it, you know. So that's prophecy. And the pastor be saying that stuff, man. And sometimes he'll be planning to say that stuff. It just comes out of his mouth. That's because the Holy Spirit is speaking through his mind. So I don't know if I'm going to jump on this first. This was been the last one I supposed to talk on. So it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 says, prophecy shall fail. Prophecy is nothing but encouraging people. God may have you. They talk to your mama, talk to your sister, talk to a friend, the fellow person sitting right next to the child. I see you hurting. What's the matter? And then God, well, you know, but you don't need to worry about that because so-and-so-and-so. And you may encourage that person. Well, thank you, sweetheart. You're really mental. That's prophecy. You're encouraging somebody, and you're encouraging it through the leading of the Holy Spirit, you see. And then it comes to tongue. And tongue shall cease. Tongue shall, God say, John, you know English, don't you? Yes, Lord, I think I do. I'm not a perfect grammatical expert. Says, will is past tense, present tense, or future tense. I go, it's present tense. Says, you're right. Says, will. I didn't say tongues has. Now look at it. Does it say H-A-S or W-I-L-L? What does it say? I says, will, Lord. Thank you. Now, tongues will cease when that which is perfect comes. Who do you think is perfect, Brother John? I said, nobody but you, Lord. Amen. And I hear no more from them anymore. And we won't need tongues no more because in tongues, God teach us and warn us about things in tongues. Sometimes he may want us to pray for somebody in tongues, but we don't know. Somebody may be sick. Our mama, our daddy, our child may be suffering something, but then our child may have cancer or something and don't, is scared to tell you or whatever it is. May have AIDS and don't want to tell you. And you're praying. You know the child is sick and you're praying for the child. The Holy Spirit might have you to speak, to pray in tongues. And you go, you know what? Because that's what I do sometimes. I say, Lord, I don't know what to pray. Every time I'm praying, I'm always asking, I need some more money. I need a better job. I want this and I want this and I want that. God says, shut up, boy. You know, so I sometimes, I don't know what to say when I get to pray before I go to bed. Are you in the noon? I say, Holy Spirit, respectfully ask you to intercede for me, please. I don't know what to say. I'm tired of begging God because every time I pray, I'm always asking for something. And so I say, well, here I go. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray. And I go, Shekiri Anekutapa Salasti Nehekita Paraso Nehekitimichi. And I can pray for hour after hour after hour and tell you, don't get that. And don't have the slightest idea what I'm saying. But I'm smart enough to know that's the Holy Spirit interceding, using my tongue and my lips to manifest the prayer. It's not me when I say Shekiri Anekutapa Paraso. I don't have the gift of tongue. I mean, interpretation tongue, but I got the gift of tongue. And that's the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I recognize the language. Sometimes I say, I'm speaking in French. Sometimes I can recognize the dialect kind of thing. All right. I didn't mean to do that. That was going to be the last thing I was going to talk on, so I don't have to talk about tongues no more. Tongues still relevant today. Say tongues will cease. It didn't say shall cease. It didn't say has. Okay? And then the last one, knowledge. See how smart the devil is? You got prophecy, and you got tongues, and you got knowledge. Has, it didn't say knowledge will cease too. They use the word vanish in this case. Knowledge will vanish. Has knowledge decreased, y'all, to stop since the first century? Look how much we've gained since the first century. The horses we ride, the airplanes, the military weapons, the military swords we have, the homes, medical capabilities we have, all the stuff we learn, all the schools and all the teachers and everything that progressed, all the different types of homes we have now, you know. Knowledge hasn't ceased. Satan ain't stupid, though. Y'all ain't going around telling me, haven't you heard? Knowledge has ceased. Knowledge has ceased. And everybody say, devil, you're not only ugly, but you're stupid as you know what, too. So it says will, and the Lord said will is future tense. And verse 10, tell you when it's going to come. It said when that which is perfect. And nobody perfect but Jesus. When he comes, then we won't need tongues then. Because God would be our teacher, and we would know as he knows. He said, we'll have the mind of Christ. So we will need tongues of God to speak to us. Sometimes that's how God speaks to the congregation through the pastor who believe in it. He might get to say, well, folks, I'm about to say the benediction, but the Lord got something to say. And whoever got to give interpretation, would you please stand and tell me what I said? And the pastor gives it, Heshek Kerianeka Labo. And when he goes on, he says, thus says the Lord God Almighty, not me, but the Lord. And then he said, who has the interpretation? There always be two people. One would get up, both would get up, and he said, okay, you go ahead and speak. Well, the other one, standing up to confirm that what the person is saying or interpreting what the pastor said would be right. Because some people say, well, I'm going to get up. Oh, the Lord said, he's lying through their teeth, you know, trying to look popular. And famous, and the other person gets, you lied. The Lord said so, y'all. That's what he said. But whenever the pastor speaks in tongues, he's giving a word of encouragement. And he might be speaking personally to somebody. Sometimes when we call him, he says, darling, que te eriata por su ini. En cola para se que inala para soma que te shikiria ni kata poroa, says the Lord God Almighty. And then somebody get up and go, I don't know who it goes to, but the Lord gave an interpretation. He said, sweetheart, I've touched your daughter according to your prayers. Your daughter is coming home tonight. She'll give you a call at 12 o'clock and tell you to pick her up at the airport or at the bus station. And that woman started screaming, and everybody knew who it is. And they said, she's this age, and her first name is so-and-so and so-and-so. And that woman jump up and scream and run to hug the pastor, you know. That's prophecy. And the devil ain't going to say prophecy has seed because he knows a lie. Prophecy is for the purpose of giving people encouragement, so forth. Okay, so I'm going to leave tongues alone now. That was supposed to be the last thing I was supposed to speak about in Jesus' name. Now, what I want to talk about is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is not an it, not a thing? The Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person. He is a person. Let me say it again. He is a person. And when you look at the Bible, you see scripture which makes reference to that he teaches, he can testify, he guides, he speaks, he enlightens, he strives, he commands, he intercedes for us. He sent workers like apostles and all those different assignments he gives them to do. He calls, and I say he calls, I mean he called people in different ministries, some to give wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and all this other kind of stuff. And he also called to comfort. A person might be having, got the news from the doctor that he or she may have cancer. The husband or wife is cheating on him. Whatever causes you to be discouraged, you find out that your boss is going to call you in the office of Marcos, one of the spies told you he's going to call you, they fire you, kind of a thing. And so the Holy Spirit comforts you when you get home. And he may come to you and tell you, don't worry about it, honey. I got someplace else for you to go. You don't belong in the first place. I didn't sign you to this building. I didn't sign you to die. You walked out of here in your own flesh. That ain't what I wanted for you. So that inspired you. I got something bigger and better for you, honey. I'm the one that has the purpose for your plan, not him. And you go, praise the Lord, you know, kind of a thing. So he comforts us, and he tells us different things what he wants us to do, the Holy Spirit. I love this part. I was saying, you know, Lord, what you want me to say? And then so I started taking notes from the Holy Spirit, you know. So anyway, I just say what come to my mind. Remember now, when something talks to you in your mind, it's not necessarily you. If you don't remember nothing else I say, remember this. Every thought that comes to your mind, it ain't you all the time. Sometimes the devil may be speaking to you, or the demonic spirit telling me, oh, go ahead and smoke the weed. Nobody know it, man. Go ahead and screw that man, that woman. Man, we human, dog. God don't want us to be miserable, walking around in the flesh and wanting to have sex. And I'm just 19 or 18 or 20. My God. You know, and God have mercy. I had a cousin tell me that personally. And she's from New York. And I was calling her. And she just cursed me out there and said, I don't believe that. We want us to meet our desires. And I have desires. I'm human, you know. I'm not an angel. And if I have sex, I got to have it. I don't care what you say. I don't believe God is that evil to not for me to have sex. I said, do you know sex without a husband or a wife is called fornication? And that's straight to hell. And do you know when you're married, you cheat on your husband or wife, you know what that's called? Huh? Do you know what it's called? Yeah, I know what it's called. Well, okay. See, that's adultery. And you have to say, because you don't know the word, you don't ever read the Bible. You know, you don't know the last time you read the Bible. Talking about we have feelings, God. No, we are fleshly beings, not spiritual, godly beings. We are fleshly beings, and we have to meet the desires of our flesh. When I get hungry, I eat. And when I want to screw, I screw. I say, it was nice talking to you, cuz. So long. Won't bother you again, kind of a thing. So the Holy Spirit enlightens us. The Holy Spirit enlightens us. He assigns gifts. Like some people got the gift of miracles, some gift of healing, some gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, the gift of wisdom and knowledge and all these kinds of things. So I want to say this about the Holy Spirit. We must have the Holy Spirit operating in our lives in order for us to properly, not only properly, but accurately and precisely know the nature and the way God wants us to behave. But we got to hear the voice of God. and the Holy Spirit. In most cases, the Holy Spirit will be speaking for or to stand in for God Almighty. And guess what? To hear the voice of God, we have to live right. We must be able to perceive the Holy Spirit. And you'll never, never, never hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you unless you're right. You don't go to church on Sunday and go, praise the Lord. Because remember, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And right now, the Lord wants me to interject a thought. The thought comes to my head and says, if by chance, he said, you know, when you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, the temple of the Holy Spirit. So if you're a temple, your body is a church of the Holy Spirit. That's like going to church and then you sneak in the church and fornicate, masturbate, and all this other kind of stuff. You don't do that in the church. You probably go in the bathroom and do the mad things you want to do. So, but that's your body, which is the church, the temple of the Holy Spirit. So God wants me to tell some of you who just don't know out of ignorance, who might not be married and having sex with your beloved kind of a thing. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit's gone. Not there anymore. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Ain't no way in the world you're going to lay on top of that man, on top of that woman, and the Holy Spirit says, look at him, get that. And the Holy Spirit says, I got to get out of here. My Lord. So remember, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if some of you are doing those things, guess what? God tell me to tell you the Holy Spirit is gone. The Holy Spirit is gone. And the only way that Holy Spirit come back is you truly, truly repent. I didn't say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. He don't want no sorry. He want repentance. In other words, if he's going west and you repent, that means he started going east. Okay? All right. So another thing else I want to see about the Holy Spirit, that you can be saved but still need the Holy Spirit to hear and demonstrate God's power. I mean, because you know why? Because if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're going to be going on your own mindset, on your own intellect. Because you can remember when you were in Sunday school or when you were a child, when you was in church and you was in children choir and all this other kind of stuff. So you learn a lot of basic theology kind of a thing. So consequently, when you're thinking things, you're thinking on what you've been taught. And because you've been taught by this teacher who got his famous, a very tick and everything else, he don't know the Bible perfectly. You know, he makes mistakes like everybody else. Ain't nobody perfect. And then, two, you got to recognize, when he look at the scripture, man, he's an intellect. He may be, I'm talking about deacon, a fellow family in the church and all their brothers. And when I say teaching and preaching, I'm not necessarily talking about a preacher all the time, y'all. I'm talking about brothers and sisters in the Lord who does that at home or with family members, a friend you're always sharing the gospel and everything else. But let me tell you what I think, what I believe, you know. So, this is because you got 2 doctorate degrees, 4 doctorate degrees, or because you got a master's as a chaplain, or because you're the head singer in the choir, or because you're the one with the voice, you're the doctor at the hospital that performs, and but you're a Christian too, and you expound somebody about your religious belief. Well, that could be an error too, because there's two ways you explain or interpret the gospel. One, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, okay? The leading of the Holy Spirit, and you really actually sat under a minister who really, really knows and lives what he teaches and preaches every day. Your deacon friend, your cousin, your brother, supposed to be so spiritual, or this artist, whatever. Remember, they're human just like everybody else. And some of them are very articulate and communicate things like that, you know. So what I'm trying to say is not all deacons, not all chaplains, not all pastors are dumb and stupid. By no means I'm saying any crap like that. What I'm saying is we teach and preach what we're taught. All your ministers have been to school. I've been to school, and all I heard from the time I entered seminary at the age of 22 till I graduated 3 years later, And then several years later, I was a deacon for about 15 years. Then I was assistant pastor and all that stuff. And I heard all that time, tongue has ceased, and many other things. But my spirit couldn't accept it. And one day I finally, after 40 years of hearing that junk, I cried to the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't know what to believe. I don't know. Some people can say, oh, haven't you heard? Tongue has ceased. And then I go, oh, but I can never accept it. That's because my spirit didn't allow it, John, because that was an error. they teach it because they were taught in error. They didn't know. They were sitting under a doctor who been, who a doctor who got 2-3 degrees, and here he is, a student, a first year, second year in seminary, and a doctor, and the theologian says, "Tongue out, see." Well, you figure the man been preaching but teaching that seminary for 20 years, no, he ought to know what he's talking about. So he received it. And then he goes and teach. It's like when your mom say, if you do this, this will happen to you. If you steal, you're going to jail. If you lie, I'm going to spank your butt. Well, you know what you do, you know what the consequence is going to be because you know, you see. So God loves us. Let me go and talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the most important person to aid us in our spiritual walk, folks. Let me say that. He's the most important person to aid us in our spiritual walk. Not only that, in our journey from the time we were born all the way to the day we go to the grave, he scheduled our spiritual walk, our spiritual journey, our spiritual calling, our spiritual ministry, and our spiritual life. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. He says in, what was it, Jeremiah, yeah. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, 12, 13, it says, "Don't you know that I have a plan for your life? A plan, not of calamity problems, but a plan to give you a future and a hope." So I think I want to beat this. I think I'm going to go to college and get this. I think I'm going to go to technical school and get trained for this. Before you do it, honey, my brother, check with the Holy Spirit, because that ain't what you're supposed to do. Sometimes some people get the clue. You know, yeah, you see some kids, 7, 8, 9, 10, can communicate like the teenagers, like they know what's going on. Say, "Girl, your child is gifted. Listen to your child." And be speaking like they're teenagers, you know. And then you get kids who go up to the piano. They'll take a piano lesson. They can listen to the music and they go to the piano and play the same identical music without telling them what the C scale is, where the D scale, the E scale is. Now, they're going to play because they have that gift of hearing. They can go to the piano and play exactly what they heard on the radio without knowing the first lesson. You got a lot of people playing on the guitar, and you see these bands. They got people. They just play up and down that guitar on the string. Shoot, that they've been trained for that. That's a talent from the Lord that they got. Some got the gift of speech. Most of them got the gift of speech. Want to be lawyers and stuff like that, and senators and representatives, because they got that gift. They can communicate. That's the gift. But God did not necessarily call them to be a but they go on where their gift is. Can't blame for that. It's like ministers. Ministers got that gift. They have that oratorical ability. And that's the right place to use it. You know, some of them shouldn't be there. Well, God didn't call them to be a minister. God called them to be something else, you know. But that's the one that most people identify when God got that gift of ability, you know, to speak and that kind of thing. So the Holy Spirit, it's one that gives it out, and he's the one that can guide us, because God said he's the purpose and plan for our life. And guess what? The Holy Spirit is a very important person to aid us in our spiritual walk. Don't forget it now. Our journey, our calling, our ministry, and our life is planned by the Holy Spirit, by God through the Holy Spirit. Remember that. So remember that. So you need to get down and pray and talk to the Lord. What would you have me to do? What is your calling on my life? You know, he will reveal it to you. And then you will understand the role and the function and the nature of the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that revealed that purpose and plan that God has for your life. Yes, sir. And also, as we embrace and appreciate the role and function of the Holy Spirit, we can, guess what? We can grow in hearing the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God. God got me. No wonder he got me to pull this piece of paper out. Because you know, I forgot about that. It says, as we can embrace and appreciate the role and function of the Holy Spirit, we can grow in hearing the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God. I did a whole session on that one, but no wonder that I pulled a piece of paper. I get it. I say, I'm not talking about how to hear God. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. So now see why, guess what, y'all? I pull out this little piece of paper, and guess what it says? John. And this piece of paper was in one of my old Bibles, 27 years old, and I was cleaning out my library, and this little piece of paper fell out of the, out of one of my old Bibles I had, and it had a note that I wrote down when I was in my 20s, and I was writing what the Lord was telling me to write at the time. You know, as a young dude, and I didn't know how to do what I was doing. And guess what I wrote? Just about 27 years ago. And you know what I titled the thing? I say, it's a note from Jesus. A note from Jesus. A note from Jesus. It says this. I said, while going through some old spiritual books and devotionals, I discerned these words printed on one of my old Bibles from years back. And it says this. This is a letter from Jesus. It says, my son, I still speak to any child of mine who will humble his or herself and listen. Number two, I do not shout over the daily turmoil sounds of average household. My voice is not weak, but it is not quiet, calm, and severe. It's serene. It takes complete. Listen now, here we go, to hear God's voice. He says to me on this little piece of paper, it takes complete surrender on your part before you can hear me. That surrender must be complete soul, body, and spirit. And that's something, not just soul, praise the Lord, but body. You're out there screwing around doing all kinds of things you got no business doing. You never hear the Lord. He said, that complete surrender must include your soul, that's your mind, loving the Lord, not thinking evil things, thinking rotten things, and, you know, and that kind of stuff, anger, vengeance, sex, whatever it is. He says, that surrender must be complete, John. I'm talking about your soul, that's your mind, your body. Watch how you use your body and spirit. What do you believe? You believe that Jesus is not just a good white man or something? What do you believe, Jesus? You don't believe that he's the Son of God because he came and and his daddy was a carpenter and his mama wasn't married? And what do you think about Jesus? The Bible says he's coming as King, King, Lord, Lord. But he forget about that other part, about the first part when he comes back. He comes back to be a sacrificial sin for us. See? So for you to hear my voice, John, you must be complete. I'm talking about complete. I don't mean no hanky-panky and jabbing around with me. I'd die for you, boy. Listen, before you can hear my voice, you have to be complete in your soul. In other words, you watch what you're thinking, boy. You watch what your plans are and these kinds of things. You be complete in your body. You use your body for what I give it to work and whatever assignment I give you. I didn't use your body for fornication or adultery, these kinds of things. And you must be complete in your spirit. You walk with me or not. Don't be saying, hail, praise the Lord, and you're out there praise him and praise her, and you love some man or woman more than you love God, or you love your mom and your daddy more than you love God, and these kind of things. So you must be completely mind, soul, body, and spirit. Well, you hear my voice, chump. That's what Jesus said. He says, and then he goes on to say this, I do not answer casual inquiry. Let me see if we can hear God still speak. Jesus, are you up there? Hey, Jesus, can I hear your voice? Jesus, I'm down here praying now for about an hour now. I still don't hear you. Jesus, you still speak to us? And this is what he says. I do not answer casual inquiries. It is only those who are persistent in wanting to communicate with me. It's only those who hear my voice. They must be serious about communicating with me. And not the excitement seekers. Let me see if Jesus still speaks to us today. No, he don't speak to us like that today. We have his written word. We have his written word. Yeah, we have that too, but do what it says. God says, I still want to communicate to you, man and man, woman and woman. See, I do not answer casual inquiries. It's only those who are persistent in wanting to communicate with me who hear my voice. Not the excitement seekers or stubborn fools who set out to prove or disapprove my ability or willingness to talk. And then he ended it this way. I said this. Mm-mm-mm. So I said, okay, Lord. And I sat down, meditated on it, and then I kind of summarized what I've said. You know what I wrote, y'all? I wrote four little sentences. I said after hearing God, reading God's words, he said, God does not show favoritism to any person because of his or her heritage or because of his or her reputation or because of his or her position in life. Because of whatever he or she accomplished. Hear what I say? I don't care if you got 50 stripes on your shoulder. I don't care if you're a multi-million, what do you call it, triple crown. I don't care if you're a 100 crown chaplain, not chaplain, but preacher, triple crown minister. Yeah, okay. Number two, God sees and evaluates our hearts. Look at this now. We can fool each other. We can look at a smile. They don't know what we're thinking. We might be cussing around our mind or whatever. But listen at this. I wrote this down to God. So write this. God sees and evaluates our hearts, the inner person, and his favor. Talking about the Holy Spirit. We're still talking about the Holy Spirit. God sees and evaluates our hearts, our inner person, and his favor rests on those whose hearts are, who's he listening to and can hear him? Those whose hearts are sincerely turned toward him in love and in faith and purity. Those three things. He's looking at you, goes, how come I can't hear your brother so-and-so can hear your voice? So-and-so can't. How come I can't? He says, only those who can hear me, they must turn towards me sincerely, not halfway, sincerely turn toward me in love, faith, and purity. Moreover, God does not prefer the love and fellowship and prayers of the educated more than the poor or the powerful or the uneducated. Let me say that again. Good. I thought the more education you got, the more this you got, the more you're respected. You're a respected man of God. See, moreover, God does not prefer the love and the fellowship of prayers of the educated more than the uneducated. Okay? And because you're poor, and you don't have any power or anything, and are you uneducated, that don't mean he can put you down and say, man, that chump, man, get that ignorant away from me. But he looks at your spirit. He's not looking at your degrees and what's the name of the college, the name of the club and the society you're in. He's looking at your heart. And if that heart not right, you can stand in for him with your, all your degrees and everything else. He's going to say to you, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Holy Spirit don't believe. The Holy Spirit don't believe. Okay. And then another last thing I got. Once a person turns his or her life over to Jesus, it is no longer business as usual. Remember, when you accept Christ, he's the word of God. Say, it ain't no longer business as usual. You ain't going to clubs no more. You ain't going to do this no more. You got to put away the cussing. You got to put away the lusting. You got to put away stealing, put away lying, all of these things. Once a person turns his or her life over to Jesus Christ, because he died, remember, he died for those sins. Don't play Jesus for a fool. Don't go in that sun tongue, praise the Lord, and money choose wins. The Holy Spirit seeing all that stuff, remember? The Holy Spirit used to be in your body, but the Holy Spirit knows what's going on. You can't fool God. So don't be going around that sun tongue, praise the Lord, sister, praise the Lord, and this kind of thing. Because as soon as you die from that automobile accident, a heart attack, a cancer, whatever it is, and your spirit leaves your body, and then that angel will be saying to put your bed, say, come on. And you look back at the bed and see your body laying in the bed dead. And the Spirit said, come on. The Spirit said, come on. And that angel will take you right up in front of Jesus. Jesus will look at you, see him sitting on the throne, and you see his Father sitting on the other side, and see the Holy Spirit sitting on the other side. And Jesus will look at you and say, I died for you, remember? I died for you. You know, I told the Lord not to let me go through them pains and suffering. And I asked him three times, don't let me suffer like this. Please, Lord Father, please. But God didn't change his will. And then what did I say, huh? I said, not my will, Father, but your will. If I have to get my butt beat, slapped, and stabbed and everything else, I'm doing it for them. Because an unsaved person can't save or die for somebody to get saved. A sinner can't die for another person. Only a righteous person can save, can die for people's salvation. And I'm the righteous one. I died for you, but you marked my death on the cross. You died in there all them years, lying, stealing, fornicating, committing adultery, cussing like a champ and doing all this and manifesting hatred and jealousy and all that. None of that comes up here. I didn't die for your kind. Satan, yes, master, that's yours. No! And then they look at you, and you turn around, and you see Michael, all these, all over tears, standing there, and angels. And you see family loved ones who went on before you, standing there looking at you being escorted to hell. That's not a pretty picture, y'all, but it's real. God don't play. I bet you if you had a son or a daughter died for me, and I go, oh, thank you, Lord, praise. And I go out there whole monkey doing everything and raping people and everything else. And I die, what you gonna say? Go to hell, Negro. My daughter gave her life to you, or my son gave her, and you around there cussing, screwing, and doing all this. The hell with you. The hell you go. And that's exactly what happened. And that devil go, eh, you mad now, you stupid, you see. So God taught me a lot of things from that. What else I want to say about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is, what time is it anyway? Oh, Lord, I don't have my watch. It started at 8 to 9, 9 to 10. Oh, I got an hour. 8 to 9, 9 to 10. Praise the Lord. All right, I can take my time. I don't have to talk like I'm on fire. Let me tell you some more things about the Holy Spirit. First of all, I told you he possesses a speaking nature. He speaks with us. He teaches us things. He testifies for us. He guides us. He speaks to us. And he enables us. He strives to make us better. He intercedes for us and so forth. He calls us into the ministry. And he works in these kinds of things. There's another thing I wanted to say about the Holy Spirit, just remember, he's here to direct us. He's down here. The Holy Spirit, and this another thing I want to say, he performs the actions of a person. That's why we call him a person. Jehovah's Witnesses declare that he's not a person. The Holy Spirit is just an action. Like you reach to turn the light on, you reach to pull the plug. So God said, let there be light, let there be this, let there be light. They think it just snaps into being. But the Holy Spirit go into business, go into action then. You see, the Holy Spirit performs the actions of a person. He does a number of things only a person can do. And what can he do? I just said, for example, as a person, he teaches. As a person, he can testify for us to God. And as a person, he guides us. As a person, he speaks to us. As a person, he enlightens us. As a person, he strives to do things for us to better our life. He also commands us to do certain things. He, as a person, he intercedes for us. As a person, he sends workers to us. As a person, he calls us. As a person, he comforts us. The Holy Spirit, remember that the Holy Spirit was addressed as a person in the Bible. The New Testament clearly shows the early Christians that they recognized and affirmed that the Holy Spirit was a person. And listen to the Bible said, Peter obeyed the Holy Spirit when he was commanded to go to Cornelius. Hear that? Peter obeyed the Holy Spirit when he was commanded by the Holy Spirit to go to Cornelius' household. That's found in Peter chapter 10, verse 19. And listen to this, another one. Philip. Brother Philip, Father, leading of the Holy Spirit in his ministry. You find that in Acts 8:39. Now, how can he find the leading of a thing, huh? How can he follow the leading of a thing? The Holy Spirit is a person. But Jehovah is to tell you a lie and tell you the number one person, that's God, you know. They don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Another example, y'all, of the Holy Spirit as a person is seen in the references to the Trinity. What? As a reference to the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You know, even though God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit are different beings, spiritual beings, and you wonder, say, how? You say there's only one God. You just said God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son. You just said three gods. No, just one God. And, you know, in some one friend of my books, because I can understand that mathematics, you know. If they're both gods, if they're all three gods, I can say one God, you know what I mean? But, you know, I had a buddy of mine who broke it down real simple. He said, John, what kind of dog do you have? I says, I had a German Shepherd. And your kids got it? I said, yeah, one got an Alaskan Husky, and another one got another kind of something like that. I said, you just talked about, how many dogs did you talk about? I said, three. He says, now, a dog is a dog, right? Huh? I said, sure. I don't care what that dog looks like, what that style of that dog is, still a dog. You got God the Father, God the Son, God is God, And Brother John, he says, a dog is a dog. That's why you say there's one dog, but there are different types of dogs. A dog is a dog, regardless of your cocker spaniel, a husky or whatever. That's a dog. So you can say there's one dog. But now you can get into the math and go, well, there's one dog, but there are different types, you know, kind of a thing, you see. But they all are a dog, labeled as a dog. You got God doing his ministry, and he talks with his fellow godly ministers, our spirits, but they are God. It's not three God, they are God, period. God is God. Here we go. Another example, the Holy Spirit as a person is seen in the reference of the Trinity. Jesus commanded the disciples what? To teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Word, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How about that, y'all? Another example of the Holy Spirit as a person is seen in the references to the Trinity. Jesus commanded his disciples to what? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's in Matthew 28:19, you see. And now you go, hey, what about the Holy Spirit being really deity? Really deity? Well, listen at this. After all that reading and stuff, you know, I kind of wrote my little notes and put them in my mind and stuff like that. And then I came up with this conclusion after reading that part. I says, well, this is about the deity of the Holy Spirit. Not only, folks, is the Holy Spirit a person, but he's also God. God in three persons. As God, he is worthy of our worship and obedience. His deity is demonstrated in part by what? The names of God which attributed to him. Let me see what I want to say. The Bible also ascribes the attributes of deity to the Holy Spirit. I'm talking attributes. All those things you can do is godly. Isn't nothing but a God can do what he's been doing. And finally, the Holy Spirit accomplishes that which only God can do. And then you got names. When God identified his name in Scripture, you remember, it is not without meaning. The first mention of the Holy Spirit in Scripture identifies him clearly as God. And God and the Spirit of God move upon the face of the waters. When I first saw it as a child in my 20s and 30s, when I saw the Scripture, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, well, he's God, the Holy Spirit, but he was speaking about the Holy Spirit in that one, see? And the most common name for the third person of the Trinity is called the Holy Spirit. And his deity or his godliness is also implied in the titles Comforter. He's our Comforter. And you find that in John 16:17, he's known as our Comforter. And then in Corinthians, 1:3, he's also been known as the Spirit of Truth. He's the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, and also another name, the Holy One, in 1 John 20:20. And you got to remember now, most of the names ascribed to the Holy Spirit in Scripture either relates him directly as to deity, as the Spirit of the Lord God gives. So those names refer to him as deity. And we also know him what? As the Trinity. When we speak of the Trinity of God, we are also speaking of one God. One God in three distinct persons. Let me say that again. When we speak of the Trinity, we are speaking of one God in three distinct persons, each being God. The Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity and is therefore God. Now remember, when Peter asked Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Remember when they supposed to sold their house and everything else, but they turned all the money, lied about how much they got for the house and stuff like that. And Peter said to Ananias, hey man, you're supposed to sell the house and give us the money so we can get it, distribute it to the poor. But you just gave us so-and-so-and-so-on. And you told us that you had to give some money to so-and-so-and-so-on. And then, that's what I'm saying. Remember when Peter and Ananias said, why has Satan fill that heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? To the Holy Ghost. And you weren't talking to me, Bubba. You were talking to the Holy Ghost. That's what telling me you lie. Because the Holy Ghost, I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. When you speak to me, you lie. The Holy Spirit listens to everything you're saying because the Holy Spirit is in me. A part of me is in me. So you're lying. Why would you have lied to the Holy Ghost? And he says, thou has not lied to me, but to God. So when a man was talking, he said, how much did you sell the house for? Why so? Well, let me tell you, Pastor, so. Well, you got a righteous pastor who really knows the Lord and loves the Lord. You know, a deacon who really loves, a fellow parishioner. And you talk, child, he's so. You're not lying only to that person who you're talking to, but you're lying to the Holy Spirit too. Because that person is a vessel of the Holy Spirit. Now, see, now the Holy Spirit got attributes just like God the Father and God the Son. And by that I'm saying the comparative attributes of God are omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence. He's everywhere at once. He's omniscient. He knows everything. And he's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Okay? And all those qualities are attributed to the Holy Spirit. Now, what are some of his works? Tell me some more. How you know? Give me some more where he manifests himself as a person, Brother John. Give me some more examples. Well, let's look at the Trinity. He look at his attributes. The comparative attributes of God are, remember I say, all-powerful, all-ever-presence, and all-knowing. Listen to some of his words. When I was looking at my Bible, and I was going through the scriptures, I came up with this. He was there at the creation. It said, the Spirit of God. He said, oh, that's God. Yeah, that's God, but that's not God the Father. That's God the Holy Spirit. He was at work at creation. The Spirit of God move upon the earth. The Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is also active in the work of regeneration. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born to water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now see, the Holy Spirit is also active in the work of regeneration. Regeneration, that means that you recognize that you're a sinner, you're a sinful being, and for you to get into heaven, you're going to have to confess your sins and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior with the belief that he's the Son of God, and then the Holy Spirit will regenerate you. All of a sudden, you find yourself like to read the Bible. All of a sudden, you're talking about getting saved. And all of a sudden, you're trying to save everybody on the corner. And everybody walks by, and you want to preach to them. that new regenerated life, because they're getting away from it. That child is a holy roly, a religious fanatic kind of a thing. Well, that's the regenerated manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your presence, because you got born again, you got filled with the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden now, you're thinking godly things. You want to read godly things. And then you turn the channels that's godly. You turn away from the channel and do all the other stuff. So the Holy Spirit of God is also active in the work of regeneration. In other words, you don't change it. That girl, that woman, that man changed. He's always talking about Jesus. And look at that. Get up in the morning and say devotion. Always got a Bible there with him and all that stuff, child. You don't turn to be a religious nut. The Holy Spirit of God is also active in the work of regeneration. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so that's what the Holy Spirit does. He works in us. And then the Holy Spirit, what time is on? I don't make sure I don't understand. Well, I don't know. It's 9:08. Okay. So the Holy Spirit speaks to us as follows. He gives us word of wisdom. Say, what do you mean by words of wisdom, Brother John? Well, listen what the word of God says. And this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says this. The Holy Spirit speaks to us as follows. He gives us the word of wisdom. Say, what is the word? Now, all you need to find in 1 Corinthians the 12th chapter, okay? I pull this out of the 1 Corinthians the 12th chapter. These are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. All those who he desired to give it to. Like I said, you got to be true with him with body, soul, and spirit. Not no Sunday and Sunday and Sunday and Sunday. He told me Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He would bless somebody with the word of wisdom. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. And it's a message. What do you mean by a message of wisdom? Well, let me tell you. A message of wisdom means he gives you information to solve problems or situations that you may have. Or maybe a family member may have, your husband, your wife, your children. I don't know what to do about this, Brother John. And I tried, and I can't sleep. Well, you prayed to the Holy Spirit, said, how should I handle this problem? How should I deal with the situation? And if you, a child, sold out to God, he said, well, let me tell you what to do, my child. That's how he talked to you. So he give you, give something, the word of wisdom. That's to solve problems and issues and situations. Also, they give a word of divine instructions and direction. I don't know what I should do about this. I don't know where I should go to get help with this kind of thing. I don't know who I can talk to. But guess what? The Holy Spirit tells you, go see Sister so-and-so and so-and-so. Go see Brother so-and-so and so-and-so. Go see Deacon so-and-so. Go see Pastor so-and-so. Go see Doctor so-and-so and so-and-so. Go see your next-door neighbor across the street from me. They're my disciple, he and his wife. And you go over there and the Holy Spirit tell them what to tell you. So what? God give us the word of wisdom. That's to solve problems and situations. You just ask the Holy Spirit. What else? To give a word of divine instruction. In other words, you tell a person, what you, I don't know what to do about this, man. This is too heavy for me. I swear, I just don't know what to do. The Holy Spirit give a word of divine instructions and directives to give you, to give to someone. Otherwise, it would cost them their life. In other words, God saved a whole lot of life because they didn't know what to do. If they thought what was right to their mind, they would end up getting killed for it or get put in jail for it because they've been misinterpreted, action, everything else. So I want to repeat that. The Holy Spirit would give us divine instructions and directions to give to someone. Otherwise, it would cost them their life, business, marriage, and family. He also gave us a word of knowledge. And when he gave us the word of knowledge, that's where he gave us the names of people who are doing us wrong or people who can help us. He also gave us who's our enemy. So let us know who's for real, who isn't for real. He also revealed relationships to us. We might think a person loves us or care about us, and that person is just the opposite.
15 minutes.
Okay, thank you. And so he is a person that want to help us. Now, I want to finish these last 15 minutes about demonic spirits, okay? Now, what I want to say about them, there are different kinds of ministers, spiritual beings, okay? Now, let me break it down to you. You have all kinds. You got, I'll tell you some of the attributes. Demons, before they were cast out of heaven, you know, they were holy. They were holy angels. Demons have some same attributes as good angels, and some of the attributes. Listen at this about demons. They are spirits. They can speak. They believe in Jesus. They know who he is. They demonstrate intelligence. They have emotions. They recognize Jesus. They have supernatural strength. And they are eternal. You know, spiritual beings never die. And a demon number, a fallen angel, so they never die. They have their own doctrine and beliefs. They're evil. They can tempt people to do what they want to do. They can deceive people to believe different lies and all these other kinds of things. And there are about four types of demons you need to be aware of. One is called principalities. Another one called powers. Another one called rulers of the darkness. Others are called spiritual hosts of wickedness. And demons serve different functions. I'm going to slow down on this one. Demons serve different functions. Some are called evil spirits. Guess what they do? They influence immoral acts. Some are called unclean spirits. They induce unclean thoughts. Some are called spirits of infirmity. They afflict the body. Some are called deceiving spirits. They produce false doctrines, cults, teachers, and false Christ. You know one of their main lies is? There's no such thing as demons. And tongues have speech and all those, are deceiving spirits kind of a thing. Again, let me tell you, there are four different types. One is called evil spirits. They influence immoral acts, unclean spirits. They induce unclean thoughts. Some are called spirits of infirmity, afflict the body. Some are called deceiving spirits, and they produce false doctrine and stuff like that, okay? And what else they can do? And demons can attack us in different ways. They quote scriptures, give us the wrong interpretation of scriptures. They teach us their phony doctrines. And they can afflict our bodies. They tempt us with pride and so forth. And guess what else? And I'm not going to go into all demons, but there's one that you really need to be aware of. It's called a familiar spirit. So, John, what is a familiar spirit? This is how I didn't catch it. Familiar spirit means a demon who knows everything about you. We can encounter familiar spirits who work for Satan. they are like reconnaissance teams. They're going to check you out and find out what you see, what you like, and what you dislike. And their job is to spy and take reports back to the headquarters and tell Satan, their leader, what you like and what you don't like. Okay? Familiar spirits know your hot spots. They know which buttons to push. They know your weaknesses. They know your strengths. They know your likes and your dislikes. They know your passions. They know your pet peeves. What gets you going, what upsets you, and what distracts you in your desires and your ambitions. Now I want to say this. Familiar spirits know everything about you. They go tell Satan, and Satan will assign a demon who is an expert in that area that you love, that you just can't stop doing. There's been a special familiar spirit that has been assigned to you to keep you smoking dope, keep you committing sexual acts, keep you lying, stealing, all these kinds of things. It's a familiar spirit because they know what makes you hot, what turns you on, and all these other kinds of things. Okay?
Brother John.
Yes.
Do you mind? I have someone, the rabbi is listening out of Israel.
Uh-huh.
And after you get through, I need to get about 15 minutes to enlightening the familiar spirit. You are correct, but there are some higher enlightenments for some advanced students. You can stay on, too. When you get through with that, I would like to comment. I would like to add on if I get your permission.
Okay, that's fine. I'm closing out now, okay?
Okay, familiar spirits no, you can stay on because you close out in prayer. Just don't hang up because if you hang up and come out, that's going to drop everybody out.
Got you.
Okay, this is for a rabbi, a friend of mine, and there's a class that's going on in Israel for an advancement. This is basic. Brother John was speaking, which is good and it's true. But I want to get into a deeper level with the familiar spirit, in essence, to demonology. A familiar spirit is designated of a specific type of evil spirit. It is also classified because of its chief characteristic, namely familiarity. It is a relationship of familiarity with a person or a personality. For example, a woman whom Paul encountered in Macedonia had a familiar spirit which gave her power of divination, Acts 16:16-18. Familiar spirits are common aim to practice of spiritualism and witchcraft, but their activity is by no means limited to a person and practices so obviously within the occult. Evil spirits are personalities. They can reason, decide, express emotional, and communicate. Personalities have the capacity to relate to one another. Two human personalities can form a relationship through communication, and communication, that relationship, can enhance likewise. A person can form a developed and a close relationship with an evil spirit, with a person form a relationship with an evil spirit, which can be done either willfully or through ignorance. Here then has a familiar spirit. Communication is the chief characteristic of the familiar spirit. The familiar spirits respond quickly to the sermons of the medium. A medium such as the witcher Endor, whom Saul consulted, 1 Samuel 28:7 gives the example of a familiar spirit. It is a going between the forms of communications linked with the earthly world and the demonic realm. Thus, anyone who becomes a channel of communication for an evil spirit is a medium. He also has familiar spirits. So every medium has a familiar spirit. A familiar spirit is something that a person has because it is a personality identified with a certain individual. In the same sense that one has a book or friend or a cold, one can personally identify with a demon. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 19:31. The Hebrew word for familiar spirit is ob, meaning a lethal bottle. To the ear of the ancient Hebrews, the hollow sound of a familiar spirit speaking through a medium sounds as though it was coming from a skin bottle. A skin bottle is a vessel, and a person who has a familiar spirit serves the vessel which the skin operates in. Thus, the spirit indwells the person's personality through time, again, by mistakes, past experiences. You're going to go through this again. Your mama had it. That could be familiar spirit speaking to you. The seriousness of entertaining familiar spirits is plainly set forth in God's word under the Old Testament law, involvement familiar spirits with punishment by death. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 20, verse 27, I'm hearing noise. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 20, verse 27, a man also or a woman that have a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. Brother John, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you clearly.
Dr. Lucas wanted to rededicate his life. He said for you to pray over him. He recognized that he has been dealing with familiar spirit. We'll do that after this over, sir. Okay, I've got to do this real quickly because I don't have that much time. Familiar spirits are counterfeits to the Holy Spirit. Remember that. A familiar spirit is a counterfeit. It mocks the Holy Ghost. That's why Satan created the familiar spirit. As with anything, occult involvement with familiar spirits creates spiritual defilement. Regard not them that have a familiar spirit to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God, Leviticus 19:31. Anyone who has fellowship with God, who is led by the Holy Spirit, does not need a familiar spirit, for God provides him with all that he needs. The sin of adultery is committed when a man or a woman goes outside of his or her marriage relationship to gratify sexual appetites. Likewise, a child of God commits spiritual adultery when he goes outside the relationship with God to gain supernatural power, knowledge, and guidance by a familiar spirit, such as King Saul sought out a woman who had a familiar spirit. And because Saul sought her from the witch of Endor, the judgment came upon Saul. So Saul died for his transgressions, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also asking counsel for one that had a familiar spirit to inquire it. 1 Chronicles 10:13. God brought judgment upon the Canaanite nations because of their occult practices, and he gave their lands to the Israelis. Now, the familiar spirit can go on many levels. For the Christian, it's familiar with the Christian family, all the sins, all your sins. But for a medium, it's higher than that. Please go through the movie The Conjuring 3. You're talking about familiar spirits. It's working in that movie, and it's accurate through the experience that I've encountered with this principality. Familiar spirit is not a demon. It is a principality. It's a high-ranking principality that demons fall under. God brought judgment upon the Canaanite nations because of their occult practices. Deception is always present in one's relationship with a familiar spirit. Usually the one having a familiar spirit believes that his spirit companion is a good rather than evil, or think that something beneficial will come out of this relationship. And in order this error for the Satanists who use these to monitor Christians and preachers who do not have the Holy Ghost and do not speak in tongues, such as great nothings. The person having a familiar spirit may not recognize that it is a spirit entering in whom he's having this relationship. He may think that his experiences are only within his imagination and fantasies, or he may believe that he has contact God's spiritual realm through his mind rather than through his spirit. Thus, this may ensnare the familiar spirit to get deception within the individual. Familiar spirits work with narcomancy. Narcomancy is supposed to be communicating with the dead. Is in fact one of the familiar spirit's operation to talk to the dead. Narcomancy is an outright deception rather than communicating with the particular person. The medium is his contact with the familiar spirit. Hang on, everybody. Okay. The spirit is able to give information to produce manifestations that lead to narcomancy to support that this is a counteract and contract spirit of the certain dead person. The draws of a person is involvement with the familiar spirit, the attraction. The appeal of the cult is usually either curious or desirous for that which is hidden. One may have fashions with the supernatural, but not understanding how powerful this demon may be. Familiar spirits work under the divination. Divination is broadly defined as an attempt to discern future events or to discover that which can not be known by normal methods. The familiar spirit is sought to assist a person in his quest for hidden knowledge, guidance, and power. There are many expressions of divination. Divination include the practice of spiritualism mediums, which use familiar spirits, witches, Haitian voodoo priests, American medicine men, and Sabine shamans also allow the familiar spirits to enter their worship, special voodoo and black magic. Water washing is a form of divination. In some communications, there would be particular persons who have this understanding and yet does not understand that he's tackling with divination. The rod and the stick with turned forcefully down where the water is nothing but a familiar spirit communicating with the demons in the earth. Don't forget that hell is in the heart of the earth and Satan is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Thou should not learn to do after the abomination of the Canaanites that used to be found among them that used divination. Deuteronomy 18, 9 and 10, ye should not practice divination or soothsaying. Leviticus chapter 19, 26. Transcendental meditation, TM, is also recognized that confronts and gives the assistance to the familiar spirit. TM is a practice associated with Hindu worship and accepts it widely through Western cultures today. It is being taught in some colleges and even in some churches. Hinduism and meditation is nothing but a doorway to familiar spirits, imaginary playmates that children have. When you see your child talking to somebody, hi, how you doing? Daddy, he said, hello, pay close attention. Those are nothing but familiar spirits trying to communicate with that child. Drugs also open up the door to familiar spirits, rock music, games and toys of the enemy. Converse with demons during a deliverance session, the familiar spirit always tries to act up. When demons are challenged, they sometimes speak through the person they indwell. A deliverance worker may cultivate a relationship with a demon by interrogating such spirits. In so doing, the deliverance minister becomes a medium from whom the familiar spirits impart secret knowledge. That's without the Holy Ghost. If the information requires through a demon, it is not of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it is a familiar spirit. That's why we have to try the spirits. You have pastors that have familiar spirits operating in them through their mind, preaching without the power of the Holy Spirit through intellectualism. And that can open up nothing but familiar spirit, because the familiar spirit is familiar with education. A man said a manuscript one time that I saw, and that he was preaching, but I noticed that he was constantly using this manuscript. And I didn't say nothing until God showed me the copy of it. And it was all written in Latin. That's another way of finding out familiar spirits. Familiar spirits speak in Latin. They love the Latin language for some reason. I don't know why. Familiar spirits can also speak just like your mom and your daddy. And you'll believe you're talking to your mom and dad and you ain't talking to them but the demon. Narcromancy, God's word clearly forbids communication with the spirit of the dead. Remember, narcromancy and telekinesis and telephonesis are the same thing that operates within the familiar spirit according to Deuteronomy 18:10. Okay, one more question from, what's your name, brother? Okay, you want to know, okay. This is also connected from Israel, and it came in with Brother John, and I was supposed to do this earlier, but by Brother John being on there, I didn't need that much time. Did you guys get that? All right, what's the other question? Incubus and succubus. Okay. An incubus from the Latin word lie upon. Spirits is an evil male spirit that lies upon women in their sleep, obligated to have intercourse with them. The succubus is from the Latin word to lie under, is a female spirit that consists of night and day to have sexual relationship with a man. It poses as a female spirit. In the spirit realm, it becomes male and female. It's still a demon. These unclean familiar spirits are also found to have been acquired through sexual promiscuous. The Lord Jesus help me. Promiscuously, thank you, Lord. Fornication, adultery, and any sort of sexual deviation opens up the doors to spiritual loss. So incubus and succubus, one for the man and one for the woman. Okay, that's questions and answers is done. Apply this teaching of familiar spirits in your own life. Has any door opportunity been open to a familiar spirit? Renounce it. Repent of each sins, which gives the opportunities, the relationship to break this familiar spirit. God's warned that. So if anybody has been involved with familiar spirit, renounce it in the name of Jesus and ask Christ to forgive you for your sins. All right, we're going to turn this back over to Brother John. I'm sorry I had to do that, Brother John. I was supposed to did it earlier, and they was in the room, and then I only needed about 10, 15 minutes.
No problem, brother. Does somebody want to be saved? Want me to pray with you? Who that might be?
Dr. Dilmo, twinkling. That's all you want to say, twinkling, nothing else. Don't say it public, twinkling.
Can you repeat the prayer after me, would you please?
He said, okay.
Now, you repeat it in your spirit. You don't repeat it verbally. Repeat it silently in your heart. Okay, here we go. Hey, Father, it is written in your word that if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that you have raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. Therefore, Father God, I confess that Jesus is my Lord. I make him Lord of my life right now. I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead, and I renounce my past life with Satan and close the door to any of his devices. I thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. Jesus is now my Lord, and I am a new creation. Old things have passed away. Now all things become new in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for the forgiveness of my sins through your Son, Christ Jesus. I receive him as my Lord and Savior, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will re-enter me in life that I can become the church of his. Thank you, Father God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, and I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you so much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Okay, Dr. Gilbright has one wants to say, I've been listening to tongues now, and I just don't know. It's tongue. They told me tongues ceased yesterday, and I heard you tonight, but you got to show me. You got to show me, Reverend Durden, because it's bothering me now, and I'm trying to learn. I ain't trying to start nothing. I had a nice time, he said. He really needs you to show him. Show him, because...
That's in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 8, 9, and 10.
Go ahead, Brother John, explain it to him. Go ahead and explain it to him. Five other people want to know it, too. Wait a minute.
Okay.
Dr. Hawkins says he needs to know it. Dr. Dillmore and Dr. Hudson says, please.
Okay. If you look at 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and look at verses 8, 9, and 10. Verses 8 say, charity, that's love, never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Now, look at prophecy. Prophecy is just God's way of warning his people when they need corrections, when they're in trouble, and they need encouragement. And sometimes the pastor might get up and say something. He said, I don't want to even my sermon. And everybody said, Pastor, I really enjoyed the sermon. It's like you were speaking personally to me. That's because you were prophesying. You were speaking encouragement to those people who needs to hear it, kind of a thing. You know, you got many times in those past years, you got been and say, you know what, that wasn't even my sermon. I don't know where that came from. That was prophecy. That's where, in other words, that God was inspiring you to say certain things that people thought to your mind. And then the Bible says, whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. It ain't fail. The fail means shall. Shall is future tense. God had to bring that to my attention. Say, John, there's no difference between past, present, and future tense. I said, what do you mean? Either something happened way back in the past, something happening now, or something going to happen in the future. What did the word say? Now look at it. They, prophecy, they shall fail, shall. He's a better shall. Past, present, or future tense. I say, everybody knows shall is a future tense. Okay, read on. And whether there be tongues, they shall cease. What did it say? Has, or did it say cease? See, the devil got them misquoting the scripture. And nowhere you can look at all the versions. At the New Testament, King James, the New King James, the New International Version, they all say shall. And they don't say no has. Will there be tongues? They shall cease. Now, you know what tongue is? That's when the Lord want to give a message to the congregation. And if the pastor believes in tongues, he will be blessed with it. And God will say, speak. And God said, he said, God want me to say something. And he will be speaking to him. You can say, Eshekirianiketa parasa. And when you be speaking like that, the Holy Spirit then took over. It's not you. It's the Holy Spirit using your tongue and your vocal cords. He says, Shikiri and the Kapara. So called Shikiri and the Kapala. So, Dakati. And then God's going to give somebody, if he can give you the gift of interpretation, he's going to give it to two people in the church at that time. And somebody said, I don't know how I know this, Pastor, but you just got through speaking in tongues, and I know what you said. So what did I say, darling? Because I didn't have to give interpretation. He says, my dear ones, I love you. I worship you. I thank you for what you're doing, for living your style. And he gives you words of confidence and celebration. And when the preacher gets through talking, man, the people be jumping and going, praise the Lord, because what? The pastor, by means of the Holy Spirit in tongues, was giving the people words of exhortation, encouraging them to keep on going and please with you and everything like that. See? And the devil's smart. And the other part, and tongues They said, knowledge will cease. Knowledge they cease. You see, but the devil ain't going, I don't have no pastor going around telling, haven't you heard, you dummy? Knowledge has ceased. Not because he didn't know the devil would pick that up right quick. Devil, no, you pick that up because look at the knowledge we've gained from the first century to our present century, the 21st century. Look at all the airplanes. Look at all the Bibles. Look at all the study. Look at all the medicine. Look at all the culture and everything else, all the buildings and stuff that we have nowadays. So knowledge hasn't ceased. The devil pick on tongues. You know why? Because when the pastor is speaking in tongues, the Holy Spirit is speaking through his mouth, talking to the congregation. When he gets through, and then somebody says, Pastor, I know what you said. I don't know. I was speaking in tongues. I haven't gotten the interpretation. He said, Pastor, you just said this. And, honey, when that person gets through interpreting with the pastor, everybody be falling out, screaming, crying, and hollering because it's been words of encouragement. I'm pleased with you, my children. And God be telling them how pleased with him, how he's going to bless them in the future, how he's going to bless the pastor, how he's going to bless their church and everything like that. Those are words of encouragement and things like that, see? And the devil don't want you to have that. So the devil said, haven't you heard that dummy? Tongue has seat. And I got sick of it. I called several of them. Said, get your Bible. And they look at the King James Version, New King James Version, and all the other versions. And either say tongues will cease, or tongues will cease. I got the other ones. Tongues will cease. Oh, and tongues shall cease. And both are future tense, not past tense. And you can look at any Bible you want, and it doesn't say tongues have ceased. The devil slipped that one in there. It said tongues will. And the next verse says, when that which is perfect comes, then it will cease. When that which is perfect. Who's perfect? That's Jesus. We won't need tongues no more then because we have our Savior Messiah in our presence teaching us and fellowshipping with us and everything else. God used tongues to give us information. God used tongues to encourage us. The pastor may get up, time for the benediction. He said, hold up. The Lord got something to say. Even the pastor say, uh-oh, here we go. Shikiriana Kapara. Takaline Heshina Kata. La hakatine e shikiria la kotopola. Ne kolia ne shikiti ankata para so kolia ne. And then somebody said, Pastor, God gave me, it could be the janitor, it could be the choir director, it could be anybody here. The Lord gave me the interpretation, Pastor. So go. And he said, my children, I see you. I'm blessing you. Keep walking in my plans. I have a purpose plan for your life. I will bless you, and I will bless your pastor, and I will give him grace. And so on. Boy, when he get through, Pastor get through saying that stuff, man, them people crying and screaming, jumping all over the place because of words of encouragement. That's what tongues are for. You got two kinds of tongues. It's when God, I want to speak to you by way of the Holy Spirit tongue. But when you're speaking in prayer in your house, when you're speaking in prayer in your tongue, when you just bow yourself, go, shit, get here, nigga, the Holy Spirit is praying for you. And you might be praying for your mama, don't know it. You might be praying for some friend of yours who are dying of cancer, and you know it. You say, you feel led to pray for, oh, sister, so-and-so told me to pray for her. And you pray. And you get down on your knees, you go, Shekiniane, la kapara sa, koline he, Shekiniane katapara. So, and you're asking God to heal that person by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit interceding for you. So tongues two ways. One is for self-preservation, self-strengthening. Because the more you speak in tongues, the more you develop as a spiritual being. And the other tongue is when God has a message for the congregation. And God used the pastor. If the pastor believed in tongues, you'd be surprised many times when he get ready to close the when he get ready to close the service. He said, oh, I didn't tell you to close. I got something I want to say. Said, yes, Lord. And then he said, folks, the Lord got something to say. He didn't get that. No. And the person get up and say, thus says the Lord. You give two people an interpretation. One would say what the Lord said, and the other would confirm what the preacher said. God bless you. It says tongues will. Didn't say it tongue has. Look at it. The devil wants you to think and say, it don't say no has. Look at it with your own eyeballs. You say will. Will is future tense. You don't believe me? Ask your high school English teacher or your college teacher, what does will mean? They'll tell you future tense. And then the next verse says, when that which is perfect comes, talking about Jesus. God bless you.
God bless everybody. Well, thank you. Thank you, Rabbi, from a friend out of Israel. Also, thank Reverend Gilmore, Titan, Dixon, McDonald, Reverend Huntley, Dr. Demore Montgomery, Dr. L.C. Leavenworth, Dr. Jackson, Wallace Harper, Deacon T.C. Milton at Fulton, Alabama. Also, want to thank Pastor Hightower. We don't recognize Reverend, but I'll say Pastor Hightower, and they're learning. And some of these are a lot of Pastor Jordan followers who are coming to listen to him. He's going to be back on Tuesday. What's the subject, Pastor Durden?
No, I have to check with the Lord and see what it is first.
He'll let us know. Okay, God bless all of you. Have a good night and shalom to you. And protect and pray for Israel. God bless.